Have your Bibles. I want you to turn with me to the book of St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, and also to the book of St. John's Gospel, chapter 14. The shepherds were abiding in a field. Things were bad. You got to understand at this time, Galilee and all the area around it was very poor. People lived in caves. That was what they had. That was a good mode of living. It was a place that stayed cool. And so they would dig down and make caves and live in them. They kept their animals in caves, and they stayed in those caves. And the shepherds were in a cave, had all the sheep in with them, had a fire in the mouth of the cave so they wouldn't go out, so they didn't have to worry about, you know, something getting in the flock at night. And they're there in that cave, biding by themselves, and all of a sudden it just lights up. I don't know about y'all, but if I'm laying in a bed of sleep and the room lights up, I'm going to find out what's going on real quick. Now, it don't take a lot to wake me up, but you flip a light on in the room I'm at, if I'm sound asleep, I'm about going to wake up. And all of a sudden, the Bible tells us that it just lit up on them, and this light shone around about them. And in that 10th verse, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." John chapter 14. And listen to what's said in the 4th verse. "And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. And how can we know the way? And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me." I want to talk to you this morning for a few moments on a subject I simply entitled, "The Way in a Manger." You know, God's purpose all along has been to have relationship with man. Man was created so that God would have some being in this world who would be able to communicate with him and love him, not because he had to, but because he wanted to. And God created man to have fellowship. The Bible tells in the cool of the day, God would come down the Garden of Eden and walk with Adam and Eve. But the problem arose when Adam and Eve broke fellowship with God by partaking of a tree God told them not to take. Next thing you know, sin's come into the world. The relationship's been broken. And all of a sudden, we call the Garden of Eden fall, the fall of mankind, because we understand that when Adam and Eve fell, sin came into the world and separated man from the presence of God and created what we come to know as spiritual death. Because to be separated from God is to be dead. And all of a sudden, there's no longer an intimate relationship with God. All of a sudden, God is not in their presence anymore like he was when they were in the Garden of Eden. And you know, the thing about it is, we need to understand God's plan's always been to have that relationship. And even before Adam messed up in the garden, there was a way coming headed this way. A way called Jesus Christ, because John saw him as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. So before there was ever a sinner on the earth, there was already a Savior in heaven. And on that night in Bethlehem, when that little baby was born, the angels were saying, God is now fulfilling his plan. God's now sending a lifeboat. God's sending somebody who can help turn your life around and bring you out. And thank God, God still has that way coming our way. He's given us a way in a manger to find our way back to him, a way to find a way out of troubles and trials, a way to find an answer to all the problems of life. And thank God, it is that little baby who was wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in that manger in Bethlehem that night. Could you say amen? When you go through Christmas this year and you hear that song, Away in the Manger, I want you to start thinking about he is the way, because he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. And without him, I've got nothing. Those of you that were here last week, remember the sermon I preached, Imagine a World Without Jesus? Can you imagine what it'd be like today if we had no peace, no joy, no nothing that God has given us? We just had to make it in this world the best we could. We'd be a messed up bunch of people, but thank God, he is the way. Notice, first of all, he is the way out of the pit of sin. The Bible tells me that sin dominated the world, and God is that way out of sin. Could you say amen? In Luke chapter 15, you got the story of the prodigal son. Those of you know that story. I mean, you know, there's a young man, he got all of his inheritance, takes that out to the world, blows it on everything he can think of, has a great time. Had a lot of friends probably helping him spend that money. And then all of a sudden, he ain't got no money no more, and he ain't got no friends either. You ever notice that's the way most folks are? You know, I've noticed some of these guys sign them big sports contracts. Next thing you know, they got money. And boy, they got people coming out of the closets that's known them all their life. And next thing you know, they've spent all their money and they're broke. And they can't find nobody to loan them a dollar or go get them a Coca-Cola. Amen. And here's this old boy so messed up, he finally takes a job working for a guy feeding hogs. And notice what the Bible tells us. He's so bad off. It said he feigned to fill his belly with the fodder. That stuff he's feeding them hogs. He got so bad off, he's ready to eat slop with the hogs. And finally, he stood there a minute and he said, you know, the servants in my father's house fare far better than these guys. And I believe I'll go home and tell my daddy I'll just become a servant in his house. I don't even have to be his son no more. I'm just coming home. Amen. And oh, man, can I tell you, the minute he started home and made up his mind to head home, Deb was ready for him to show up. Hello? Come on, church. See, that's the great thing about God. He understands we can mess up, but he don't ever let us go. Once we become his children, we're going to be his children. He's going to wait on us. He's going to serve us. Amen. And you know, all of a sudden, his dad sees him coming down the road, and he recognized him even though he's far off. And he looked over at one of the servants and said, go get the fatted calf we've been hanging on to. We didn't have a party. Amen. He ran to that boy, and he kissed him. Now, why did he do that? Because he didn't want nobody to kill him. Because some folks in that day would have killed that boy on his way home because they figured he didn't deserve to be in that family anymore. You say, now who would that have been? Could have been his elder brother. Could have been one of the older servants saying, well, you know, he's just going to come back, cause grief, get some more money. Let's get rid of him so he don't mess up our lifestyle. But the dad ran to him, put a ring back on his finger, said, come on, son, it's just good to have you here. Amen. But I want you to notice something. I had a guy preaching one time, said the prodigal son never did get lost. Never was away from his dad. How dumb you got to be to understand that he went away from his dad and he was lost while he was away from his dad. Amen. Notice what the dad said. He said, my son that was lost is found. Can I ask you something? Was he so lost they had to send a search party out to get him, or did he know how to get home anytime he wanted to? Then his lostness didn't have nothing to do with the fact he couldn't get home. It had to be something to do with something beside his ability to make it back to the house. My son that was dead is alive. Hello? Now, did he choke on the hog feet and they had to come out there with a defibrillator and shock him back to life? Then he didn't die physically. So therefore, what he was saying was it's got to be something to do with a spiritual death. Like a separation from the Father. And because he had been out of sight of the Father and separated from the Father, to the Father he was dead. Can I tell you that there are people today that are in sin, that although they still claim to be a member of the family, they are separated from God, and some of them are dead and don't know it? You may not believe this, but we got folks that come to church are dancing out, shout, clap their hands, sing when the choir sings. They ain't no more ready to go than there's a man on the moon. Oh, I got some people looking at me. Hey, you can shout and not be saved. You can dance and clap your hands and not be where you ought to be. I remember one time I was helping a preacher kill a chicken. I popped his head, throwed it on the ground. He said, it ain't dead. I said, yeah, it's like some of your members. He just don't know it yet. That thing was, come on, look at me and smile. You pop a chicken's neck, it'll flop around on the ground like it's alive. It ain't alive. It's dead. Just life ain't left the body yet. Come on, church. Well, that's good preaching. Some of y'all don't like this because I'm getting next to you. Oh. Somebody said, who are you talking about? All these are sitting there going, I'm sorry. I'm an equal opportunity offender this morning. Because if you're lost and away from God, you need to do like this boy and understand you'll be better off back at the house of God serving God in a lower estate than over in the world trying to make it somewhere over there. Glory. But now, church, I got to mention that older brother. Soon he showed up, he lost it. You ever notice we got church folks get mad because somebody gets saved, comes in, and all of a sudden they're doing stuff in the church they can't do, and they're going, well, I've been here for years. They didn't let me do that. Might be because you didn't try. Hello? Don't look at me like some of y'all looking at me like now. Truth's the truth. The boy goes to his daddy and said, wait a minute, I've been with you all along. He run off and left, blowed his money. Your daddy said, all I got's been yours all along. The reason he's getting something right now, you never asked for the fatted calf to be cut up for you. You just been here working. All you got to do is understand you never broke fellowship. He did. But now that he's come home, I'm excited he made it back. Not more excited he's my son than I am that you're my son, but the fact he came back gives him some excitement. Come on, church. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? We ought to get excited anybody gets saved. We got folks in the church, if certain people come in and got saved, you get upset. Why, bless God, they can't get saved. Then how did you get right? Come on, church. We need to quit trying to figure out who can and who can't. Jesus Christ came to the world, and he died because everybody had a right to salvation in Jesus Christ. And it's not for me or you to decide who can and who cannot get saved. Amen. Thank God Jesus Christ is the way that will get us out of the valley of sin and bring us back into fellowship with God. Glory. Hello. Glory. I remember preaching revival in Clay County. And church, when you're an evangelist, you're running into people that folks just figure ain't never going to get right with God. I'm preaching revival at a place called Lineville, Alabama. I preached my heart out that night, and there's a little girl standing back there in the back, and you could tell she stuck out from everybody else. She just, something about her. I walked by her after church, and I said, don't you think you ought to get in an altar sometime? She looked at me sort of funny. She said, why? I said, well, maybe you need to get saved. She said, if you don't, you're going to go to hell. She said, everybody's got to go somewhere. I said, well, Tina, don't you care? She said, nobody loves me. I said, it's obvious you don't even love yourself. She snapped her head, looked at me, and she said, you don't know me at all. I said, don't have to know you. Been there and done that, wore the T-shirt. But if you'll fall in love with yourself, you'll care about where you're going to spend eternity. And I said, believe this, I'm going to be praying for you tonight because I love you. She went out that door. Man, she was mad. She turned around. She says, I'll be doing some praying for you tonight. I found out after she left, she was the head witch for the coven in Clay County. And we ain't talking about play witch. She done incantations and stuff. And let me tell you something, folks, that ain't all hocus pocus stuff. They use demonic power to accomplish their ends and their means. And she had actually been in drugs so long, she tried to commit suicide and broke her back. And she was facing charges. And I don't know if y'all understand this, but if you try to commit suicide in the state of Alabama and you're in a drug addiction or whatever, they put you in Bryce Hospital and make you serve so long down there to get recuperated and get off the drugs and whatever. And she was fixing to be sentenced to go there. She comes back to church the next night. She walked in, sat down on the back row. I come in. She said, you have a good day? I said, I had a wonderful day. She said, well, I've been praying for you. I said, I've been praying for you. I said, looks like my God done better than yours. You showed up. You know, she ended up in the altar and got saved. It put such an upheaval in that coven that 2 weeks later, the priest got saved, and 28 members of that coven came to know Jesus Christ. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? This is a lady that had sold her body for drugs, had done everything you could think of. One of the things she said to me was, you don't know what I've done. I said, I don't care what you've done. I've got a God that died so you can have life, and he don't care what you did before tonight. All he wants to know is that you'll love him and you'll serve him. Can I tell you, thank God, that there was a way, came in a manger, that we could find a freedom from the sin of this world and be delivered from the things of bondage in this life. But not only that, he is the way out of the valley of sorrows. See, if all it was salvation, we get saved, that'd be the end of it. Isn't it great to know that God keeps us even after we get saved? See, some of you don't know what I'm talking about. You've never really had sorrow hit you. I mean, you had some bad times. You never really got way down. But can I tell you, you're probably going to have one sooner or later. Somebody said, I don't accept that. Well, you accept it or not, it's still going to happen. Come on, church. I done tried that. I ain't going to accept that junk. It don't work. If it's coming, you might as well accept it. You broke, you can look at your checkbook and holler money all you want to. There ain't going to be no money there. Come on, church. They'd operated on my knee. I had 27 screws in it. Wire all in that thing. That girl come in and she said, now we got some stuff ordered for you so you won't get in pain. And they'd give me a spinal shot due to surgery, so I wasn't feeling nothing. She said, you need to take it before you start feeling. I said, I ain't gonna accept it. About 3 o'clock that morning, I was standing on that button. She said, what are you doing? I said, I'm accepting it. She said, bring me a jar of that morphine to start with, then get that IV drip going fast. Glory. Hello? Because no matter how bad I sat there going, I ain't going to accept it, it was somebody in my knee with a sledgehammer going, yeah, you are. Glory. Some of y'all say, well, I ain't going to accept it, I'm going to have sorrow. Sorrow is a part of life. You say, prove it. Life is but a vapor that appeared for a while and disappeared. But it also says it's a way of sorrows. You say, well, preacher, I don't accept that. Then you don't accept the word of God. Hello? John 16:33, these things have I spoken to you that ye might have peace. For in the world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Hello? I read in the book of Psalms 34, the 18th verse, for the Lord is nigh unto them that are broken heart and saveth such as of a contrite spirit. But many are the afflictions of the righteous, for the Lord delivereth them out of all these afflictions. You may not know what sorrow is today, but there may be a phone call tomorrow or something happen tomorrow to put you in the depth and the throes of sorrow. But can I tell you, there is a way out of the valley of the sorrow of this world. We can understand what Job was saying. When I know there is a God who gives a song in the night, who can put a joy back in us when everything's going wrong. Could you say amen to that, church? Why? Because he is my joy maker. He is my peace giver. And because of that, I can trust that even in the valley of sorrow, I can make it. Listen to the Psalms chapter 84. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee and whose heart is in the way of them who pass through the valley of Baca. Make it a well, and the rain is filled, will fill the pool. They that go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appeared before God. That word Baca simply means the valley or the place of weeping. Glory. He said, those that go through a place of weeping, you got a God going to help you make it through. Amen. You say, wait a minute, preacher, what are you talking about? Is your heart broken? Realize he's with you today. Amen. If you feel like you can't make it, he's with you today. Can I tell you, he is a way out of that valley of sorrow. Notice this, he is also the way out of the valley of brokenness. And I'm hurrying because I don't want to be all day. Some of y'all are sorrowful in this message. Listen to what Jesus said. I think it's amazing that his first public speaking appearance, he grabs the book of Isaiah and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. I mean, he's standing there, his first speech and engagement, he grabs that book, and in Luke chapter 4, he quotes Isaiah and says, I'm here for one reason. I'm going to minister to your needs. I'm going to heal your brokenhearted. I'm going to get rid of the bruises you got of this life. I'm going to take care of you, because that's what I'm here for. Could you say amen to that, church? Hallelujah. Your life may be torn apart. Society may have left you aside. You may feel like nobody loves you, but there is a God standing there saying, come unto me, all ye that are labored and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Could you say amen to that? He can take the broken pieces of your life and make a tapestry of beauty out of everything you got. Could you say amen? Matthew chapter 2 verse 11, and when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child and Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him, and they opened their treasures and presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Realize the gold represented his royalty. Amen. The frankincense represented his priesthood. The myrrh represented his ability to heal the brokenhearted. You said, now wait a minute, preacher, how's he going to do that? Because when he was on the cross, they gave him myrrh. It doesn't taste good, but it also is an anesthetic. It does away with pain. It takes pain out of the body. Come on, church. Somebody said, what are you talking about? God has the myrrh that was given to him as a child to take the pain out of your body and to help you through the brokenness of this life. Could you say amen to that, church? Hallelujah. But not only that, he can help you make it through the valley of the shadow of death. He is the way that gets us out of that valley. I hear David when he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Now the key word there is through, because if you go through something, that meant there was a start and there is also an ending. Amen. And so you start and you make it through that valley. I hear Philippians, when Philippians chapter 1, he said, for to me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I want not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart to be with Christ, which is far better. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, notice what he said. He said, I'm kind of stuck. I don't know if I want to stay here or go over there, but I do realize what's over there is far better than anything I'm going to have over here. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? God says that can make it so you won't worry about dying. Hallelujah. Amen. You say, what are you talking about? Listen, Titus said it this way in Titus chapter 2, verse 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm not coming to church just because I need to come to church. I'm coming to church because I want to live righteously and soberly in this world, because I've got a hope. The only hope I got is that one day Jesus Christ is going to appear on the horizon. And whether I'm dead or I'm walking on the face of this earth, I'm going to be caught up together to be with the Lord in the air. I hear Paul writing the church of Thessalonica. He said, I would not have you, brethren, to be ignorant. It's concerning those that have no hope. He said, you're not like them. You got a hope, because we know that if Jesus Christ died and came forth from the grave, there's coming a time when he's going to step on the clouds, and he's coming back for those that are looking for him. And if I'm looking, I've got the way out of this world to a world of forever. Ever in Jesus Christ. Could you say amen? Glory. Listen, John 3:14. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God sent us away in the manger to get out of the valley of the sin, the valley of sorrow, the valley of brokenness, and the valley of death. Because you see, if I'm born again, I don't have to worry about dying, because I've already died once and I've come back to life in him. Hallelujah. That's why when we're baptized, the Bible said we're baptized unto Christ. And like as Christ was raised from the grave by the glory of the Father, we also walk in newness of life. Hallelujah. Why? Because I've already left this life. Amen. Could you say amen to that, church? Do you want to go with him? Amen. He's the way in the manger over 2,000 years ago. But today he sits at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and I. And he sits with open arms saying, call unto me. I'll answer thee, and I'll show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Would you stand with me all over the house? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, there's nobody so far gone God can't save them. But at the same time, there are people in the house of God who could become separated from the presence of God, who need to renew themselves in him. And Christ has made a way for that also. See, one of the greatest things we can live by today is the fact that we did have, over 2,000 years ago, a little babe born, wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger. And he is the way, the only way, the only truth, the only life. Father, we thank you this morning for your love and mercy. Father God, we ask you to reach down and touch this house with your power, with your grace, with your glory. Holy Spirit of God, move on us today. Father God, with your love and your grace, touch us with your power. For God, I give you praise for that I receive from you. And an anointing for your love, it touches our lives. Father God, today I believe you. Show us a way. In Jesus' name.